The scripture text for the sermon is taken from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, and I shall read for you. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the label of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer of my string instruments.
Very good morning to brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, I would like to thank True Life and the pastor and also the session for inviting me to share the Word of God with you here. I think this is not the first time. I know quite a lot of brothers and sisters here, so I thank God for that. Now this morning we are going to think of a subject of secret of having true joy. Now the situation of the world now is getting from worse to worse. It's not getting better anyway, as we can see daily from the internet or from the newspaper, that the economy situation will take a long, long time to recover. Now many people are worrying about their businesses. Some banks are on the point of collapsing. Now many automakers, like in America, are afraid of closing down or bankruptcy. Not only that, there are many people who are afraid that they might be laid off, because every now and then you can see in the newspaper that there are so many thousand people are laid off. I remember my daughter-in-law who works for Marilyn Lynch, and she is constantly worrying. She said, "All right, when at New Year time, when you receive the ang pao, that means that is ang pao for a farewell gift. So anyone who receives the ang pao will be get out of the bank and so forth." So there are lots of people who are worrying day and day about this. Many worry about their business, of course, whether it's possible to carry on now, and there are many people who worry about their jobs and so forth. Some may express their fear outwardly, but some may laugh, smile. When you meet them, they smile. But in their heart, they are really not smiling. That's not the true joy, of course. Now, when you are in deep trouble, are you able to have true joy? That is the question that I'm asking you. There are many people who are worrying, and you smile. But the point is that when you are in deep trouble, are you able to have true joy? The prophet Habakkuk here prophesied just before the fall of Judah to King Nebuchadnezzar. When before King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah in the year 605 BC, and then at that time when Daniel was taken and others to captivity in Babylon. So he was commissioned by the Lord to announce the intention of God's punishment to the people of Judah. Now there is two questions that he was thinking about it in his mind. First of all, he said, why did God permit the increasing evil of Judah to go unpunished? The second question that he had in his mind was that, how could the holy God justly, using the Babylonians a people more wicked than the Jews, to punish the Jews. I think he had kept on thinking of the answer. My God's defense was that His goodness, His power, and faithfulness remains always, even in the midst of the existence of evil. Now, in a time of evil, God is still under control. Now, in chapter 3 of Habakkuk, here, the passage that our chairman just read, he praised the person of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. Now, in the passage we read from Habakkuk 3:17-19, he says that although the Chaldeans means the Babylonians, invade the land and burn up the vineyards and olive groves, hindering the harvest, steal the flocks and rob me of everything, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, dear brothers and sisters, are we able to say that in our difficulties, in our all sorts of difficulties, are we able to say that? Yet, even with all our things being taken away, will we be able to say that? So, we see that Christians are quite different from the non-believers. First of all, Christians have joy and peace. Christians are not like those people who are always showing a very sour face. And every true believer must have a joyful heart. Must have a joyful heart. The joy of Christians is not superficial. Just as I said just now, when you are in trouble, and yet you are able to smile as if that you are happy and so forth, which is not the truth. Not the truth. But Christians are not superficial. With roars and laughters, but inwardly with trouble and so forth, not so. It is like the calm of a settled water in a deep sea. There's once a diver wanting to dive into the sea, and the sea was very rough, waves roaring and so forth. But when the diver dived down right to the bottom, he felt that it was so calm. There was no roaring wave like on the top of the sea and so forth. So the peace of a Christian and the joy of a Christian is like that. We are not superficial. It is so peaceful that though with a storm on the surface, but we are not afraid. We are not afraid. We have full joy. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Sometimes this cannot be understood by many unbelievers. How come the Christians are able to have joy like that, even in a time of trouble? Perhaps I've spoken here and gave you a testimony of a couple during my mother church long, long time ago. They were very poor people, and they used to go out and collect all the used things, bottles and so forth. And later on they would go out and sell it for a few dollars in order to come back and buy food and so forth. But they were always smiling. And I was wondering, when I was a small boy, when I see this couple always smiling like that, I was very surprised. How could these people smile like that, in spite of not having enough money to buy food, not having enough money to buy dresses and so forth, and yet they were able to smile. This is not artificial or not superficial. It's the truth that even in time of difficulties, they will smile. Number two, where can the joy and peace come from? is not from the world. Joy and peace do not come from the world. Now, in the world today, you may be very joyful. When I worked as a part-time clerk in a sawmill, I was a school teacher in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I went to the sawmill to write the accounts for the company. Now, there was a young man who worked as a sawer. One day, he bought this 4 digits. Then he got the first prize, 20,000. He was overjoyed. That kind of joy, you see that he's laughing at all time. With the 20,000, he shouted, call his friends all along, say, let us go and have drinks and so forth. Within a week's time, the 20,000 was spent. Then when he came back, he did not smile again. His smile is gone already. The smile of the world with things that can supply you, that can only satisfy you for a while. So when it's gone, you are no more smiling. But the joy and peace did not come from the world. Here Habakkuk was saying that this joy is in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. Perhaps, how can you rejoice in the Lord? Unless you know Him. If you don't know the Lord, how can you rejoice in the Lord? Now the Bible tells us there are a few characters that they always take the Lord as their God. Take for instance, David, when he was a young man, when he was asked to go there one day to see Goliath, the champion of the Philistine. Now Goliath was saying that, are you bringing the stick in order to chase away a dog and so forth? But David said what? He said, you come to me in sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name of our God. I come to you in the name of our God. Now one who has the Lord in him has strength and also has what? Has joy. King David was that kind of person. Another one I would say was King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, one day he was challenged with the 3 armies, the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Ammonites, the 3 armies that gathered at En-Gedi, which is on the bank of the Dead Sea. Now people came to tell King Jehoshaphat that, oh, the 3 armies had come to fight against Judah. King Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord, and they gathered all together, the priests and all this, they gathered all together. God told him that, it is not your war, but it is my war. You need not have to go and fight against. In the morning when the Moabites fought against the Edomites fought against the Ammonites, and they were all killed. They killed themselves. And you see that they were able to have full joy. They sang hymns of praises and so forth. It is the one who knows the Lord, then will be able to have true joy. King Jehoshaphat had that kind of joy. Now thirdly, we see that, you notice that the 2 verses, especially there he said, the joy is the joy of salvation. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. Or I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now a little girl in a Christian family once asked by a non-Christian, how come that you are always be able to be so joyful? And this little girl, after thinking for a long time, then replied. She said, because mommy and daddy and I, we have what? We have God with us. So we always have joy. It is true. The one that who knows the Lord will have true what? Will have true joy. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, the Israelites were saved by God passing the Red Sea. They sang the song of salvation after crossing the Red Sea safely. We know that behind them, there were the Egyptians chasing after them, and in front of them was the Red Sea. So they were not able to cross. But God did a miracle by drying the water of the Red Sea so that they were able to cross. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, we can see that the Israelites were safe. And then they sang the song of salvation after crossing the Red Sea. How could they sing the song of salvation unless they were safe? You don't expect anyone, a non-believer, to sing a song of salvation like that. No. They must have been saved. Then only they were able to sing the song of salvation. Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, and he was wrapped in weeds all around. This was a picture of a lost man. Picture of a lost man. Now he cried unto God, and then God heard him and saved him out of the belly of the big fish. God heard him and saved him. And then we see in Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, he said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That means to say, Jonah knew about God. One who knows God, then only knows about his salvation. Thirdly, not only this is a God of salvation, but it is also an anticipation. It is a joy of anticipation. Why a joy of anticipation? Because it has got a strength and also a hope. In verse 19 of the same passage that we read, he will make my feet like hind feet to walk upon my high places. The Chinese translation is like that. He causes my feet fast like the hind feet of a doe or female deer, and walk steadfastly and firmly in high places. One who has the Lord, one who has the Lord, and one who has true joy, it is a joy of anticipation. I remember in 1990 when I went to the States, to Seattle, to stay there for 3 months. Then I had the opportunity of going to Canada to visit the Rockies of Canada. So we went, drove up to Bend. Bend is a city over there. And there was a cable car going up, right up to the top. Now, while going up there, we saw there are lots of these bighorns, sheep, bighorns by the side there. And the mountain was very steep, going down like that. And I noticed that the bighorns were able to jump from one place to another. Now, supposing human being were to walk there, I think we are quite afraid of falling down into the deep ravine. But the deep horns are not like that. They keep on jumping. Not only that, they kept jumping from the bottom right up to the top, to the summit. And they were not afraid. Without tiredness and so forth. They were so strong. Keep on jumping and jumping and jumping. I believe Christians are like that. We have the joy of the Lord, and our strength keeps on going on and on and on. Unlike people who go weaker and weaker and weaker. So Christian is not only having joy, but having what? Progress. Having progress. Climbing from one high place to another higher place. It's not like a soap bubble which vanishes at the touch of our hands and so forth, but stand firm and grab hold like the big horn there. It stood on the rock and then without falling down. Hind feet will not rest on the rock but cling to them so that they can easily and stand firmly on high places. Now this tells us the feet of faith. We have the faith that will rest and cling on to the great and precious promises of God. Now Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." You see, the righteous man, there's a hope, and the hope will be what? Gladness or joy. Fourthly, I think that joy is independent of earthly possession. The joy that Christians have is independent of earthly possession. Earthly possession will not affect our joy. And so the prophet Habakkuk says here, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Here the imagination was that when the Babylonians came to Judah, everything will be flattened. There's no olive groves or no olive trees left over, and the animals all will be killed. And then the fields have yield no more. There's no wheat, nothing at all, because everything will be flattened. But Habakkuk said, "Yet in that circumstance, I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Joys of believers do not come from things that we possess in the world. As I said just now, the two elderly couple, or the elderly couple, they had been to the church for a long, long time. But they were very poor, without money. But if you say that money will affect that, then they have no joy. But even at that kind of poverty, they will still be able to be so happy. So it proves that joy does not come from the world. Of course, money is very useful. We do not have money, I think we'll be in great hardship. Now, during the Japanese occupation, a very prominent businessman in Moa, and many people knew him so well, but also he was able to import a lot of contraband goods from Singapore, because he knew the Japanese so well. So he imported clothes and everything into Moa and made a lot of money. Looks like he was a millionaire and so forth. And everyone sees that, well, he's one of the town leader. He was one of the town leader because he was very, very rich. But not long after that, I think when the Japanese had gone, his business is gone. Nobody would buy anything from him, and other people are doing business as well. So he became very, very poor. What happened to his joy and so forth? It's all gone. Like what I said just now, the man who had bought the four digits, and when he had the four digits, was so happy. After spending four digits, he saw face and again. But Habakkuk was telling us that this joy of the Lord does not concern with what? The earthly possession. Whether you have earthly possession or not, it doesn't matter. You always have the joy of the Lord. So, beloved, we can see that the passage that Habakkuk was telling you, it is a true joy, not from the world, but it is the joy from what? From God. I will joy in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The joy comes from God. Today, may I ask you, are you happy with your home? Are you happy with your family? Are you happy with your children? Are you happy with all your possession? If, in case all these are gone, will you continue to be happy? Let me ask you that. If that is so, then you truly have got in you. But if it's gone, then you are so sad already, there no more. I tell you, your joy is artificial, superficial. It's not true joy from the Lord. So let us not forget the prophet Habakkuk that is telling us about. The Christian can only have what? Have joy and peace. Because joy and peace come from what? From God and not from the world. Joy and peace is not affected by what? By all the earthly possession. You may have money, you may have property, you may be happy. And when you don't have property, you have no money, you're still happy. Then you have what? You have the true joy. Because that is the joy from what? From the Lord and not from you. So beloved, let me ask you, do you really have true joy in your heart? Or sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you feel not happy. That's because why? You see the world more important. See the world more important than God. See? If you have God, I think you should be what? Very happy. You will not be like any other unbeliever. See? Let us therefore ask ourselves, why sometimes am I not happy? Is it because I see too much? To see the world so important as that? If that is so, then I'm not happy. Jesus at one time, when some of the would-be disciple came to him and asked that, I want to follow you. And then, but first of all, let me go and bury my father. Another one came to him and said, let me go and try my oxen. I've just bought a pair of oxen, so let me try on them. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Because why? Come and follow me. God is more important what than the world. If you truly have God, then you are able to have true what? True joy. So let us ask ourselves, why am I not happy? It's because I think too much of the world and so forth. If that is so, we must change. We must take God as number one. Preference given to God, then the world is nothing. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given unto you. Joy from the Lord is true joy and everlasting. Joy from the world is superficial and artificial. It lasts for a while. May each and everyone have true joy. But you must have what? Have God in you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee that Thou hast spoken to the prophet Habakkuk that in time of difficulties, the loss of many possessions and things, and He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Lord, sometimes we care too much about the world, and as a result, when we miss them, we feel sorry and sad. And it is because we do not truly have God in us. May Thy word continue to help us strengthen our faith, that we may always have Thee in us, and so we are able to have true joy. May Thy word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.